All right. Can you guys hear me fine? Sorry for the 5-minute delay. So what I'm going to talk about today is continuous application with Apache Spark 2X. I think in the presentation, go ahead.
How about now? Better?
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll keep it closest for now. So this topic is about Apache Spark 2X, specifically more around the structured streaming. On the title, I think it says 2.0. That was the original talk, so well, I'll put 2X right now. We have Apache 2.1, and 2.2 is about to be released. The first part of the talk is about structured streaming. Who here has any background in Spark in general and structured streaming off of the RDS? Somewhat, okay. So structured streaming is the latest generation of Spark streaming in Spark. So Spark, before structured streaming, had something called DStream, and this was based on what's called RDDs. And now what we're doing is, instead of using RDDs, there's a new framework called Data Frames, which is part of Spark 2X. It actually came out in 1.6, but we're using Data Frames on top of streaming, and it's called structured streaming. And it has a lot of advantages over the legacy streaming, which I'm going to talk about as well. So in terms of the Spark stack in general, there is really 4 big components. There's the Spark Core and 5 components. Spark Core, and then on top of the Spark Core is SQL, streaming, mllib, and graphics. Spark Core, as you may know, is a distributed computational engine. It's basically the next iteration from MapReduce, which was what came out around 2009, and Spark has been around around 2013, Databricks has started, and a few years before that, Spark has started. And Databricks is the team at Databricks started the Spark at UC Berkeley. So the big idea about streaming and the next iteration of it is what's called structured streaming. Is it's supposed to be functional, concise, fault tolerant, and a unifying stack. And what we mean by unifying stack is you'll be able to use streaming to collect data, and then because it turns into a structure, into a data frame, then some of the algorithms that you have in graphics or machine learning APIs or SQL can be translated to streaming. So it's meant to be unifying in the sense of whether you're doing ETL with a batch or stream, you can apply the sort of the similar set of business logic that you already have in either context. And this applies across everything in Spark. Everything is being unified around this concept of data frames. And data frame itself has a background in pandas, in Python, and R data frames. So it's more of a data science project. And the data frame, the differences from data frames to RDDs is data frame has a structured schema on top of the data itself. If you guys have any questions before I continue, let me know. So this is just more of an introduction piece. So streaming applications are growing in complexity, and really the main topic of this talk today is how streaming is no longer about just capturing data, it's really doing some processing on the fly. Again, blending of ETL job when it's either batch or stream, and eventually the goal is everything becomes a stream. You don't need to do an ETL job in batch. If data is being streamed, you can collect it as a stream, which means in an ETL, typically, you don't just capture the data and write somewhere. You actually do some processing on the fly. And really, this talk is about how do you do that using structured streaming. Again, it just doesn't run in isolation. The streaming actually interacts. You can do interactive analytics on the streams. For example, you have this dashboard as an event, like a stock market. You see as the bid prices for stocks changes, you want to be able to monitor it. You can have machine learning, online learning on the fly, or scoring of whatever models that you have against your data. You want to be able to do that in real time. And I actually have a demo to show how you can score models on the stream of data that comes into your system. So this would be a diagram of what we mean by a continuous application. So this would be an IoT use case where you have these devices coming in. On the left side, let's say from a source like Kafka, then you don't just, the point is you don't just capture the data and write it to some destination and process it later. What you actually end up doing nowadays is you may monitor that data on the fly. You may write it to a storage for legacy, for historic or audit track. But at the same time, as you look on the top, you want to do anomaly detection, maybe learning or any type of online processing of that data as the data comes in. So some kind of continuous learning, online learning, for example, in the context of machine learning, clustering on the fly. So all of these dictates that the streaming becomes a lot more complicated. It's not just a matter of being able to deal with latency and throughput, but you actually have to be able to do more, apply more intelligence to a window of time to the streams that are coming. And that window of time is something I'm going to talk about more. And of course, you can do the monitoring at the end, or you can also do a dashboard and look at the events as they come in on the fly. So continuous application, not just streaming anymore. There's more going on, as you saw in the previous diagram. This would be another comparison. On the left side, what you're looking at is just the data comes in, and then you write it to some kind of a sink. But what we're speaking here is more interaction going on at a query, writing it to the sink, joining it against some static data, and maybe even eventually joining it against another stream of data. So being able to do a lot more on the stream. So the goal is, the simplest way to do streaming is not even thinking about it being a stream. So as if, again, a unified platform where whether the data is being streamed or batched, the latency of the data and how fast it's coming becomes a secondary thought. Like a data scientist can create own pipeline, it is written to Kafka or some other storage system, and then you can just pick it up on the fly and do anomaly detection on it without knowing too much about the details of how do I have to worry about throughput, latency, how do I configure things out. So the goal and the objective is to make things simpler and allow you to do more on the stream of the data. So the big concept in the structured streaming in Spark is a single API for batch versus static data. And as I mentioned, data frames is really based on the concept of a table. So a data frame has a bunch of columns and then rows. It has a schema on top of it. So now expanding that same idea to streaming, what it turns into is an unbounded table. So now instead of reading a table off like some kind of a storage and knowing the count of the data identified, this is more of data gets streamed and you keep appending the rows on the data that you collect. So it becomes an unbounded table. And then of course, in this unbounded table, then you can apply data frame to any kind of a SQL processing on top of that data. So this shows more, like, yeah, as the data is streamed, you append it to the unbounded table. And of course, this table can, depending on your cluster size and how much you want to, how big of a window of time you want to have, at some point, you do have to decommission some of the data. That's the idea of watermarking that I'm going to talk about later on in the talk. But at the high level, this is what the architecture looks like, that you have, conceptually, you have this unbounded table that then you can run processes against. So again, high level processing engine, you can apply Spark SQL. So actually, the same team that built Spark SQL in Databricks as part of the open source Spark. Some of the same members are working on this structured streaming project that's now been around for, I think, 6 months since the initial release. So some of the same, for example, the Catalyst optimizer that they applied to Spark SQL is now being applied with different sort of data frames. So the batch of data frames, the stream of data frames. But a lot of the optimization and the engine behind the scene is exactly the same. So now, one of the key points is this slide. People who have background in using Spark Streaming Legacy. The concept in Spark Streaming, the one before Structured Streaming, so if you did Spark Streaming, let's say, in Spark 1.6 or 1.3, a year and a half ago, you have no choice but use these streams. So what main changes are these lines? So one of the first one is the events are no longer based on the processing or the capture time. Because a lot of times you're going to have latency in capturing the data. So let's say the devices come in, you have, let's say you have a key on some of your IoT devices and you want to capture when the key was open or closed, or you have a door that's open and closes. But sometimes maybe the event for closing, even though it actually happened after the opening, but when you capture it, it's actually captured in the wrong order. So you capture the closing before you open. And that would definitely be a non-starter for any kind of a streaming use case. So you want to be able to process the events based on the time of the event occurrence, not based on the time that you capture the event. Again, due to a lot of latencies, network issues, and the fact that you're dealing with a cluster of systems, there's always a chance that events come out of the order. But in structured streaming, you can capture the events based on the event time attached to the data itself rather than the capture time. And that's what that first point is about. And the second point is about what I spoke about earlier, which is this data frame concept and being able to do similar APIs, almost exactly the same API between batch and stream. Third frame is about end-to-end exact once guarantee, and this is a key point in any kind of a streaming project. Other Apache projects also have to deal with this. And this means that not being able to account for the same event twice. How do you guarantee that you always capture this one event one time, even though you have a cluster system, and if there's a failure, you're not going to double count something or not even count it at all. So the exactly once guarantee has its own extra overhead, but that's been handled by structured streaming. I'm going to get into some of the details as well. The other part is exactly what I said before, which is this optimization, like tungsten code generation. These are some of the optimization that was done in Spark SQL as part of the Spark 1.6 and then 2.x. And a lot of these optimizations are now being applied on top of the stream as part of the structured stream project. So this goes a little bit more into the how it's actually works. So we have this concept of a trigger. So we have, let's say you can set up a trigger point of every second, so the data comes in. Initially you have data in the first trigger point, and then there's the second trigger point. So you have an input, and then you have this query that you run against that data stream. So then you capture this result, so think about like a window of time. So the first window of time, you capture, let's say, a couple of records, and you capture new records, and then you have this concept of an output. And the output is, could be, we can also call it a sync. That could be your database, it could be some Kafka or another topic, Kafka or SD. So it could be a variety of outputs that you want to write your results into. But really what happens over time is you can, in this case, be showing you can output just the delta of your change, whatever changes is you're going to capture. This would make sense if, let's say, you're writing to a SQL Server or MySQL. You only capture the updates in the output. But you can actually do more in the output. You can actually write all the results every time. You can write the delta or you can do append. The append is the default, which means you only write down the new results since the last trigger point. So in every trigger event, again, you capture new data, and if you like bring the window of time, it makes sense to do complete output, because in the window concept, under the fact that you also capture latency, every window of time that you have, it could have more updates from the fact that some data comes in late. So you want to maybe, if you're doing some kind of a group by, then you would go with a complete output. Otherwise, if you're running through like a SQL engine, you would probably go with a delta output. So this would be an example of a word count and how it works out. So you, in the first trigger point, you have a bunch of words, and then at the second one, you have additional words coming, and you continue to count. And then again, depending on where you're going to store your result, you can have different output on the bottom. So this is an example of an actual Spark SQL syntax. So you, in this case, you're reading some data from a JSON file. What this is using, and then this is the batch ETL job. So you're reading from a source path, this is just reading from a file, and you format the JSON, then you do some kind of a query on that. You're saying, only give me, let's say this is a device data, and you want to say, give me the device as a signal bigger than 15, and the device itself being 5 signals is the output of that query. And then if you want to write it to some storage, only that filtered set of data, then you can write it in Parquet using that syntax format Parquet and then save. So the point of this whole query is read some data in JSON, write it in an optimized format of Parquet, but then also do some filtering. Now, this would be the same query if you're using structure stream. So the whole, the only difference in the syntax is instead of saying load on that query, on that first call, you say stream, and then instead of, and then when it comes to writing the result, you have to say, the syntax is a bit different, so you have to define your output modality, which again, the default is append, and then you say start streaming, and then you go to destination. So as you can see, the syntax is quite similar, so it's not, the goal was to make these two APIs as common as possible. Go back. So this would be exactly how this would work, streaming ETL with data frames. Those are the details of how you actually read the data and then write it with the outputs. This is another example. This is doing continuous aggregation. So you're doing, this would be the typical case of what I meant by when you do streaming, you don't just capture and write the data here. You're doing something with the first one, you're doing something with group by device ID, device type, and then getting the average of the signal. So what that first query is going to do it against all the data over time, you're getting an average signal. But let's say you're doing some kind of you want to monitor if something's going to go wrong with your signal. So there's a signal spike in the past, let's say, 10 minutes. So the way you do that, you do some kind of a window function there, that you say, in the window of 10 minutes, do the averaging there. So again, the syntax is very similar to if you were doing this on a batch of data, but instead you have that function called window, and here you can do anomaly detection on a smaller time rather than across the whole data that comes in. And this would be an example of joining the data against a static data set. So here you're reading data from Kafka, and you say Spark read, and you define your well, it doesn't have the full syntax. You have to find a topic in Kafka that you're reading from, and you start the stream. And in this case, if you need some static data, let's say if you need the devices, the type of device, or any kind of the static information about those measurements that you're collecting on the stream, that may come from a JDBC driver. So that's your static data set. Again, both of these are data frames. One is called Kafka data set, the other is called static data set. And then you can join that data as the data gets streamed and actually display it if you want to. So here you do the join based on that column called device data. So in terms of a little bit more details about that output modality, so you can do output append or complete, and I already spoke about this a bit, but if any questions, let me know. Again, this modality really depends on the type of processing that you do. So if you're not doing any kind of aggregation, it never makes sense to do a complete write every time. If you're just collecting data or writing it, most often you want to do an append or a delta, you never want to output every single time because the data from the legacy will be exactly the same. But if you're doing something like aggregation, a window function, then even the old data will have an output. Like let's say you do a word count over window time, so if you're grouping by time and then doing some kind of a word count, the word counts for 5 minutes ago will keep changing because again, you need data coming in. So you may want to do a complete count. So this is some additional APIs, how, for example, when you run a query, you can say await termination or manage exception handling, so that's a query you get on top of a stream of data. In this case, you have a data in a parquet format and you're writing it somewhere, but you want to be able to monitor what's going on with that query, you have this additional API calls to see what happened to that stream of data frames called the query. So this goes, and I won't go into the details of this, we won't have time because I'm going to also do a demo, but this goes into the logical planner and the actual execution. So this is similar to what you see in any kind of a SQL engine like Presto or Hive or Spark SQL. There's a logical planner and then there's the execution part of it. And again, this is the Spark SQL's logical plan, but when it comes to the execution, it's definitely incremental, right? Because the data gets streamed, so you apply this incremental execution of the data as they come. So this is more into the details of a lot of the magic that happens in the planner. So based on the data parameters to consideration to how we actually going to have the execution of that query data that's coming in. Are you doing group by? What kind of a query are you applying to that data set? And that generates that planner, which then impacts how you actually execute that stream of data coming in. And this slide is just showing the fact that there's an incremental execution components to this. That's what differentiates the structure stream from the regular NoSQL processing. And the recap is that, it's a high-level API. It's meant to make programming the streams much simpler than the legacy smart streaming. It has exactly one semantics. It's a unified, you can join against other sources of data, JDBC, or any other sources that are not the data frame you can process and you can apply machine learning models to it, and I'm going to show it very quick demo simple of how you can score machine learning models, you can score the data kind of real time on the storage or some kind of a storage system. So in terms of the fault tolerance, I'm going to just give some pointers about how the fault tolerance piece of the log texture works. This is one of the bigger challenges in any kind of a cluster-based streaming of the data, because your cluster could have a downtime, a couple of nodes, your worker nodes in the context of Spark could go down, and how do you make sure, again, you have exactly once processing of the record, and if things shut down, you want to pick things from where you stop. So the components involved is the planner, the execution part that we saw before, there's a source on the left, and there's a sink. The way, for example, you recover from an execution failure is you keep an offset. So let's say you're thinking about Kafka as your data source. So every time you read the data from Kafka, you read from different topics. So each executor would read a set of data points, like a batch of data from a starting from an offset. Let's say offset 100 is going to read like 50 records, 100 to 150. But before it finishes up the processing, it has to keep track of where it left off. So once it's done with that 50 batch of data, for example, then it would write an offset of where it ended up, and that offset in this case would be 150. So the next time it picks up record 150 onward. And the way you do that in a manner that is approved, that is fault tolerant, is you keep that offset in a file, and that's called checkpointing, and also write ahead log. So this is a complicated process, but we can just show in a simple manner it does. That one of the key points about how the checkpointing is different between the legacy streaming and the Spark streaming, the structure streaming, is the fact that in the D streams, the checkpoints are actually the Java, serialized Java objects, which meant if there was a change in the way you process the data, your code changed, you have to stop your stream and restart it, because any code change to your D streams would have changed the format of that serialized Java and required a change. But here, the checkpoints are actually not using any kind of a Java serialization, but actually using JSON files. So the checkpoints, if you look at the directory, the checkpoints are, is a JSON format that are expandable over time. So it's a much better model in terms of keeping track of the offsets or other metadata for recovery. So if there's any failure, you can go back and read the, pick up the from the point that you have the checkpoint in the right ahead log. And again, the checkpointing can be done with an HDFS compliant file system. And Databricks we use SD, which is an HDFS compliant file system in terms of the API, but you have to go through the checkpoint for HDFS. So this goes through the process that after the post of failure, what how do you go and read the offset again in this case? From the wall, from the checkpoint process, and then you pick up from where you left. In terms of the failures in the source, it's important to be able to replay from the source. So if, let's say your source is a socket connection. If a socket fails, you're not going to be able to replay, because whatever you put in this network socket is going to disappear. But if your source is Kafka, and that's why in streaming use cases, solutions like Kafka or fact that the messages are still going to stay in Kafka for some period of time. So if there's a failure in the source, let's say you read some messages from the source, but before you were able to process and something fails, so you're forced to go back to the source. In this case, you have that opportunity. There will be a meaning of time. Kafka or any of these streaming solutions, they have a timeout for their events, but they usually are a few days or a few hours, so you have a time to replay from the source again. And that's what this is showing in terms of the data from the source. In terms of the state management, again, you have the state of what's going on, again, in a key value format, in a checkpoint, and you can pick that state again and process it. And in terms of your sync, also there is a concept of high importance of the sync. So if your sync is a file system like S3 or a database, you don't have this, you won't have a problem. But there are some syncs that may not be high important. So if you replay it the next time you write it, it may not behave the same way. So that's another component of making the fault tolerance work in the context of streams that you have to make sure that your sync is high important. So these are the concept into making sure end-to-end exact once guarantee. You have to have an offset tracking of all. You have to have a state management and a fault tolerance from the source and the sync to be able to but from the point of view of a structured streaming, all of these are taken care of. And of course, some of your sources, the structured stream doesn't know what you're using as a source or destination, but those are the things that the programmer has to be mindful of. So this is again an exact once processing. This is the timeline of what has happened with the releases of structured streaming. As I mentioned, Spark 2.2 I think is coming this summer. Right now, the GA is on Spark 2.1. But structured streaming is, I think it's still alpha or beta release, but in terms of the timeline, what has been done, after connection happened in Spark 2.02. I don't know the exact timeline, but this is one of some of the features that came as part of that connection to Kafka. As part of Spark 2.1, we added the watermarking, and this is the part I'm going to explain what watermarking is again. So this is the idea of being able to handle late data coming in. So as I mentioned, you can create a window of time. That window is based on the event time, not based on the capture time. So something may come up even 24 hours late, depending on what you track. Let's say you're tracking a vending machine, but the vending machine itself goes offline for a whole day. And then when it comes on again, those events of, let's say, some transaction would now be pushed to your system to Kafka and pick it up. So watermarking is about the idea of how long are you going to keep the late events group in memory so that when they come in, you capture it. And if they're beyond that deadline, then you might ignore them. And this is an example of the syntax of it. So you say the window is 10 minutes. This is actually overlapping window of time, but the watermark in this case is 10 minutes. So anything that's later than 10 minutes from now, we ignore it. So this would be the syntax, just for an example. So this is how watermarking works, and the diagram of it. All I'm going to point out here is some of that late event. For example, if you're at time 12:15, and then some event comes in that's tagged for the time 12:04, then it's that event is out of luck, it came too late, so we're not going to add it to any kind of aggregation for that time 12:04. But if, let's say an event happened at 12:08, and right now you're at the time, you're less than 10 minutes, then you're added back. It's just late data, but it hasn't gone beyond the watermark, so you can aggregate that. So this just shows we have lots of blogs about structured streaming. This is an example of it. I think every couple of weeks we publish something. So if you guys are interested in more, learning more, you can listen to. This is actually a talk from Spark Summit. We had talks on this on 2016 and also the one in East Coast. And the next Spark Summit is coming in June. And there's more talks about structured streaming there as well. And these are some of the notebooks that we have, you know, findings or I can share with you guys. And some of the resources there. So Spark Programming Guide, the Structured Streaming Programming Guide, all of these are part of the Apache open source documentation. set, and let me do a demo, but before I go to demo, if there's any questions about the presentation itself, go ahead. Is there any API that gives you that information about? Yes, there is monitoring API that on the query that you run, you can actually see what the states are, yeah, and more of it is being exposed. But
yeah, but it's the site that is doing the object, can you, as a mentor, can you do what you're writing in Lightbox and something to levelize that how my mother gets them back by the
I think it does, yeah, but I don't know what the name of the API is, but I think, you know, all of that is visible to them. But I don't know the exact the name of the API, but I think the idea was, yeah, all the states, everything's exposed, so you can actually yourself write those states, how many records you processed, what was the latency, all of that is part of what they call the listener API. So there's a listener API that you can hook to the stream and it takes out all those events offline so you can capture them and write it to the information. Go ahead. Let me find out what is the, is there a place for the site? He's asking about is this site going to be online or where? I'll find out if you can I can give you my business card, I'll share it with you later, but I think there would be a place. Yeah, you can do more, yeah, multiple level processing. I showed you an example where you can get subset of the results and then write only those. You can create subqueries off the original stream and then only write that. But I have an example where you only were interested in a specific type of device and with a specific parameter, it was a word clause, and then you could just say write stream on that data frame, not the original one. All right, so how much time do you have? So let me show that demo. I actually have three demos, but I'll see how many of them we can cover.
Let me go this one first. So this is, so we're looking right now at the Databricks user interface. This is a notebook environment. We have this cluster called, let me show you the cluster name. So this cluster called ApacheCon is a cluster that I'm attaching to this notebook. So what this is doing, as the diagram shows, is I'm going to load a machine learning model. Then I'm going to score those models on the fly and then apply it to a query stream. So then you can query the data. So the idea here is what I'm not suggesting that you would do a real-time machine learning scoring using structured streaming, but you can score it real time and then write it somewhere. Let's say you could write it to HBase or anywhere else, and then when it comes to serving the result, that would be a different system. Because typically when you, let's say Netflix or somebody else who runs some machine learning algorithm recommendation engine, they don't want to serve it off Spark because the latency is still not acceptable. You want to have a very, very short amount of latency, you still write your scores into a NoSQL database or somewhere else, and you, from your website, you serve from there. But the idea here is you build a model, let's say for the past 24 hours, your data, and now you want to score your data that stills in your database, and then serving of it would be a separate component. So let me just show you some of this. So this would be the schema of that data. So let me click on run. Well, let me explain a bit first, and then I click on run. So this would be the data. These are review data, so it has title. So this is just defining the schema of the data frame that we're going to have. This schema definition is the same between Spark SQL and the structured streaming. Here we load the model. So this model sits into a folder. This is an S3 bucket location, but we have a mount point called DBFS. So we're reading the model itself. The model could be as simple like a logistic regression, a bunch of coefficient, and you're applying some kind of a function to the input data. But in this case, the model itself is being loaded. Then we have this, we set up this streaming pipeline where the data that we want to score is Amazon's data that's called in this case it's called amazon-stream.input, and the schema for that data is that schema that we defined above in the previous line here. So the data has 5 columns: rating, review, time, title, and the user. So then when we run this, we're creating a stream from a, so this case the data comes from a file system as a stream, not Kafka. And then this line is where the machine learning part of it happens. So Spark ML has something called transform. This is the scoring part of it. So you input data to this is that input stream, which is a special type of data frame, is a stream data frame. But this API model.transform can be applied whether to a stream data frame or to a batch of data frame, so it doesn't matter. And then here we're just scoring this data, and we're scoring it incrementally. As the data comes in, we score that data as it gets streamed. And then in this case, because this is just a demo, I'm writing the result, which is this data frame here, which is not the original data frame. This is a data frame that has an additional column, which is called prediction. That data frame is now being written to a memory, and we call it a query called stream, that becomes another data frame. And then when we start this, this becomes an action, and then you start running it so you see what I'm talking about. So when you click on run, we are about to read the data from the model from the store. Everything's gonna run sequentially, so I haven't done reading the model first. The model file, I think, is not that small, so it takes a little bit more time. So now all of that went quickly. Now this is the part that we're streaming the data and scoring it. So this, by default, we have this screen that shows the input and processing rate and the batch duration. So this is some of the monitorings that you get on a stream, on any kind of a stream, as soon as you do it, you start the stream, which is what we did here. So the action is really this point, the setup that I did up here. It doesn't do anything yet because everything is lazy in Spark. And once I click on this start is when this data is being scored, the machine learning data is being captured and being scored, and we're capturing the latency. And here is where we can actually then run some query against that stream that we wrote. So this data is going to change over time. So let me do a count here. So right now we have 690 records being streamed. And if I click on it again, we should see a larger number, 773. And then here on the streams themselves, you can see the label, which is the training data. The prediction is whether, and I think this was about sentiment analysis on reviews from Amazon. So this is predicting whether the sentiment was positive or negative based on the ratings. So in the first record, the rating was 5, which is the maximum. So the label was 1, and the prediction was also 1. And the third column, we see a prediction was actually wrong. The label was 0, meaning that we're not happy, and we score it as being a positive sentiment. So this is that example. I could run any other queries on top of this. Let's say, let me do one right now. So this would be an ad hoc query that I just ran, and it runs against that stream. You could do things like averaging, so you would do what, how. So this makes sense. If the rating was 5, your label was also 1, and I could do an average on that rating or label because I'm doing a grouping. But in this case, I'm doing it on the sync of the data. Here, as you saw, I wrote it to a sync. Here is where I did that. But I could also do some of this processing on the source itself, which is, in this case, I'm doing it on the fly. This is the processing that is getting done on the stream of the data itself. But then the results I'm writing to a sync, in this case a memory sync, and then doing some additional query on top of that. But if I wanted to, I could run queries against the source of the data itself, but it would not have this prediction component yet. So this is one example. I also have a Kafka as a source. So this would be example, I can run this. I think this works, let's see. So this is, let me explain it a bit. So I'm reading a Spark read stream and I'm reading Kafka. It has as a Kafka with three hosts, so Kafka 1, 2, 3. The schema of the data is defined here. This is matrix schema. And I'm also saying, when I read from Kafka, do I read from the earliest data or from the latest? So this, I said offset earliest. So this is where the checkpointing, if you checkpoint the data and something fails and it has to pick it up, the starting offset would be that endpoint where you stop from. But if you're just starting a new process, you could say, start from wherever I left off, we would say latest here, or you can say, ignore that, I'm gonna read from whatever messages are in Kafka from the start of whatever it has in Kafka. And in this case, the topic, which is subscription, is called streaming matrix. So if I run this one, I think this one has the data. Let's see, it's not attached to anything yet. So let me attach it to my cluster. And then if I say run, so this is a more realistic use case where, yeah, so now it's setting up the stream and let's see if there's any data in that Kafka source. If there, so what I'm doing here in this query is after I set up the stream, then I say, I want to look at the data only past January 8th of 2017, and I'm looking at this particular column called name. I'm renaming, I'm processing that column called name. I'm only interested in the columns where the name contains the word display, and then I'm doing a group by a timestamp, which is I'm grouping over a period of 1 hour. And then I'm also doing some additional filtering and ordering. And I think the data is, I don't have any data here, that's why it's not showing the results. I could go and unpopulate the data and show you here, but I think instead of that, I'm just gonna switch to another. But this is, if you had data in that queue, then it would show up just the previous demo that I showed you, it would show up as a stream of data coming in. Another example I have, this is a bit simpler, this would be reading again, let me connect to the start streaming. This is, let me run this one. This is reading again from a, this is a files that are in S3. You see these JSON files, I'm gonna stream them. I'm first doing batch reading of the data, but let's ignore that part and let's go to the part that I'm actually streaming that JSON data. And what is interesting in this case, we're gonna see, I'm doing a display of that JSON data, and you see the, as, and this is the open close on the devices. So it shows you how many of the events are for opening, some are for closing, and as time goes by, you see as every trigger points, we do an update on the visualization. And this only works in Databricks using this display function here. So you can create a visualization dashboard as your data comes in. Again, this is a simple example, and in a few minutes or seconds, it's gonna run out of the data because I just read some static data from S3 bucket. But this could easily be data from Kafka or Kinesis or some other source. And as data gets coming in, you, and the good thing is you do want the number of closed and opens to be about the same. Otherwise, it means somebody left the door open or something. And then on the top again, those are the default monitoring that we do, whether you have the display function or not, it just shows you the latency. And once the data, once we run out of the data on that left plot, I think you're gonna see a flat line, meaning there would be a zero latency because there's nothing to read. The thing is latency, that first point that we see. Yeah, it's a processing rate. So that once the data is done, then processing rate is gonna turn into a, it's gonna calm down.
Go ahead.
If that's the watermarking. So if you don't have watermarking on, and you have some kind of a window function, yeah, at some point you would run out of memory. But of course, when you do windowing, we don't keep all the data around anyway. So that whatever columns that you selected from, or that aggregate amount, that's what is kept as a state. The state is not gonna be the source data, because that would run out of memory very quickly. So only the data that is required is kept around, but even that, eventually, if you run it long enough, it would cause memory issues. That's why you have to have some watermark, which means a deadline. At some point, you ignore the late data and you get rid of the state past a certain period of time. Depending on use case, it could be hours, it could be days or weeks. So that you have to manage the size of your cluster based on that. And I think the reason that this is going a bit slower is when we read the data, we also said this could have gone much faster, but to simulate a real use case, I said that maximum a file trigger to be one, which means in every trigger point, I'm reading a maximum one file so that this demo can go longer. Otherwise, the files can go very quickly through and the duration of the demo will be short. Okay, that was it. Thank you very much for attending.